Hello and welcome to another episode of Linux Lads. This is episode 96 and unfortunately Shane won't be here with us. He said he's moving and undoing boxes and moving furniture around or something along those lines, so he won't be joining us today. Along with our usual Mike and Amulet, we're joined by Mike's wife, Eliza. Say hello, Eliza.
Hello.
And the other two guys to prove that they're here, Amulet and Mike, say hello.
Hi.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking about Eliza's introduction to Linux. Why does she use Linux? What motivates her? Any foibles? I'm sure there's plenty that Linux has. We're no way saying that Linux is perfect. So needless to say, there might be criticisms that you may have, which is perfectly fine. We're talking about your personal experience of it. Before we get into that, just a reminder that we have a store if you want to purchase a t-shirt or a hoodie or a mug or something like that with our glorious multicolored logo on it, which kind of looks quite cool. We are on Telegram, that is where we mostly hang out, or you can choose to hang out with us on Matrix, either one. They're both bridged, so if you join one, you won't miss out on the conversation in the other, in theory, as long as the bridge is up, but the bridge uptime usually is pretty good. We're also on Twitter, that darn platform, but it's very popular, so if you want to keep up with when we release a new episode, feel free to follow us on Twitter. We're also on Mastodon for that same purpose. We have a Linux Lads account, and we don't tend to post as the Linux Lads account other than to announce when we have new episodes. If you would like to interact with us as individuals, we do have our own individual Mastodon accounts, so feel free to follow us, tag us, or anything like that if you want to interact with us on Mastodon. But we mainly hang out on Telegram and Matrix. You can get in touch with us via email. And also, if you want to support us, we are on Ko-Fi. Anyway, with that, welcome to the podcast, Eliza. First things first, my first question that I would ask you, and then I'll open it up to the other guys to ask any questions that they wish. What made you choose Linux?
I was reading a book about ethical living, and they had a chapter about free software, and they explained a little bit about Linux and about how it uses licensing, that it is open to many, but if you can give credit of who created it. So I thought that was a good idea. And I had not been very happy because in Europe you had to buy a laptop with Windows in it. So I thought, oh, I'll give it a try. And that has been 12 years ago. That was in 2010.
Yeah. I would say that I had a similar experience where I was curious about it and wanted to try it out. So one day I just decided to try it out. How about either Mike or Amulet? What were your first experiences on it? Or do you have any thoughts on what Eliza just said?
I think that's the same for everybody. You're kind of curious, unless you were born into a family that where your parents would hand you down a Linux CD, a Linux laptop, and tell you, well, that's what you are using now.
The reason I started using Linux was because I was pissed off at Chrome OS. I'd never touched Windows or Mac OS. The only laptop I had was a Chromebook, and it was terrible. And I wanted something better. Friend mentioned Linux. I looked into it, and that's how I started down this years-long rabbit hole.
Yeah. Eliza, what was your first distro then back in 2010?
So it was Ubuntu, because they had a version in Spanish. I actually didn't know the concept of distribution until I met you. To me, I understood that Linux was a operating system and that there were many, but I couldn't understand that many was other than Ubuntu. it wasn't clearly explained anywhere.
So for if I'm understanding you correctly, like there's different flavors of Ubuntu. Like there's Ubuntu with KDE as default. Was that kind of your concept of it? You're like, oh, like there's Ubuntu and then there's Ubuntu that looks a bit different and that's a different type of Linux, or?
I knew that Linux and Ubuntu weren't the same thing, but when I was investigating about Linux, everything in 2010, almost everything that was available in Spanish was exclusively Ubuntu. So I never realized that there were other distributions. I knew that was a possibility, but I couldn't understand it. What you were saying, the KDE, that is too complex to me. Like to me, it was just all the information that I could find about Linux was about Ubuntu.
And you make a very valid point that probably something that I almost check my English speaking privileges here, that maybe Ubuntu is very well translated into different languages, but maybe the other Linux distributions may not be. So for somebody who's in the Spanish speaking world, their choices of Linux distributions might be a subset of what the ones that are available to me purely out of, from a translation point of view. So yeah, I actually didn't consider that. So that's a fair point.
It's interesting. So I would have never thought of it. I basically just think, okay, it's computers. It has to be in English because that's my experience with computers. When I first got into Linux myself, I got a computer. I knew I wanted to run Linux, but I didn't have a laptop. So I bought a laptop. I downloaded, it came with Windows Vista, I think, out of all things. So I downloaded the ISO and kind of using error and trial and error, kind of got without reading any documentation, because that's beneath me. I managed to put Windows on it. Sorry, Linux on it. And then for about 3 weeks, I didn't have Wi-Fi until somebody pointed me to the fact that I'm actually putting a password where there should be a hex code or something, right? Elisa, how did you do it when you decided to switch what hardware did you actually have?
I had a laptop. I actually don't remember. It was the white one, the white laptop that you inherited from me.
There was a Packard Bell laptop, which was a brand I had never heard before about.
I think one thing that needs to be established here to prevent confusion is the timeline. Eliza, were you starting to use Linux before Mike?
No, Mike and I had not met. We didn't live in the same country and we didn't share a language. So it would have been quite difficult for us to be in the same, yeah.
No, that's fair. Our listeners don't have the perfect timeline of our relationship in their heads right now.
So find me in 2010, living in Spain, not knowing much English, with a Packard Bell laptop. I had to teach myself to make a partition to install Windows in it, because obviously I wasn't going to erase Windows and just go to Linux completely. So I had to teach myself how to make two partitions to install Windows, and then install Ubuntu. I had never ever seen a terminal, so I had to read about the terminal. At that time, thank God, you could install Ubuntu with, like, you didn't have to put any code. No, not much anyway. But yeah, I was lucky enough that the laptop actually worked well. So there were no issues with the Wi-Fi or the touchpad. I was lucky on that. If it had been a problem, I wouldn't be using Linux now.
Yep, that echoes my first experiences with Linux as well. It lasted all of 20 minutes because the Wi-Fi didn't work in my first experiments with Linux. And there was something, you probably were not aware of it, but as you were speaking and talking about partitioning, wasn't there something called WUBI, W-U-B-I at the time, which was literally don't think it works anymore, but I think it was literally, it was a Windows.exe executable, and then it would handle the dual booting for you.
Yes, that was very useful.
That is the complementary nature of our relationship, that Elisa's the one who reads about things and understands them, and I just go head first into things that could probably backfire when it comes to computers, right? So, it was... do you remember what the... So Ubuntu has names, obviously, which is, like, just again for context, Elisa is not really interested in computers. She's obviously intelligent enough to install them, but it's not her... You know, it's not exactly your kind of hobby or anything. So do you remember what it looked like, the first distro? What was the code name? Some kind of an animal, usually.
I used to remember. I actually have forgotten. But it looked a lot like Windows. So it was before Unity. Two versions before Unity. Because I had to reinstall it again a few times after. And then when we met, I was very disappointed. I was thinking about stopping using Linux because I couldn't make sense of Unity.
You're not alone. I could also never make any sense of Unity. My recall from 10 was 2010, so there'll be 10.04 and 10.10 were the last ones to use GNOME 2 officially before, I think it was 11.04 when they switched over to Unity. I remember it being very purpley.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
After the brown, just pure sheer
exactly.
brownness of so I started 8.04, right, and that was the Hardy Heron. Like, you imagine, you have a gray strip top, gray strip at the bottom, middle is brown, and there's a pretty picture, very pretty picture of a heron, and it was great. So you successfully managed to install Linux and to make it run on your laptop. What kind of thing did you use it the most?
So at that time, I was using my laptop for work, and I was working in a day center. So I really enjoyed all the repositories for software that other people had done. Specifically, like, there were research software that was useful to me. I also enjoyed just toying with it, just looking for probably the first 2 months. I will just look at things that could be done.
Did you find any hurdles or pain points that if you're using Windows in work and you're like, okay, Windows can do this, and I'm just picking an example, even though Linux very much can do this, but it's just like word processing. You're like, okay, I'm familiar with Microsoft Word. On Linux, is there a Microsoft Word? Oh, there seems to be something that does something similar. So that was would be a relatively seamless transition if there's something very similar, Office Suite on Linux.
In 2010, Ubuntu came with OpenOffice, so that was sorted.
Was there anything that wasn't a direct translation?
Not really, no.
Oh, that's good.
When I had to install it, like, I had to reinstall it, then the version after, I did have troubles with the touchpad, and I had troubles with the Wi-Fi. But no, I didn't have many problems. I had problems later on. For example, with using internet dongles wouldn't work, but I found a hardware solution rather than a software solution. So I bought a Wi-Fi hotspot. So then it got resolved. Later on, I had troubles when I had to use particular software that wasn't available to me in Linux. The reason Mike and I met is because I moved to London, and I went to London to study in university, and I had to use SPSS statistics. My university had only, they only offered SPSS statistics for Mac or Windows. Even though it exists for Linux, they didn't buy the license. For those 3 years that I was in university, I had to use the computer in two different settings. So on Windows for SPSS statistics, and then on Linux for everything else. Because I had already gotten so used to using Linux only that it was difficult for me to go back to Windows.
It's an interesting thing that you can be locked in to a different operating system even though the software exists for your system. It's just it doesn't get distributed to you. There is a GNU PSPP or something, you know, one of those a similar software. Did you try that? I think you tried it before, right?
We did, yes, but I had to use SPSS statistics. It wasn't a choice. It was the university's policy. Because I could have used R, no problem, on Linux, but I had to use SPSS statistics.
So after having used Linux for, 13 years? What are your thoughts overall?
I think it's sometimes difficult to get into Linux because if you're an average user, there is very little for you. I had never met anybody who used Linux until I met Mike, and that was by chance. Will I have continued using Linux after, I had been very happy for 3 years. I didn't need to use, I hadn't changed my equipment. So will I have continued using it in future if I hadn't married Mike? I don't know, probably not, because it becomes tiresome to tell people. And it's always a big of a gamble when you're changing machines. Or will it work? How many months will I need to is it going to be feasible to solve it, or will I need to stop or change my equipment? If you're not involved as a hobbyist or technical, it's a big gamble. You cannot go to Google and say, a good machine for Linux within your specs. It's not that easy, because most people who install Linux want high specs, because they are hobbyists or they use it for technical reasons. So when you're on a budget, it becomes complex.
That is a good point. There are European and North American Linux first vendors.
And I think that's true. Now it's much easier.
But you still have to be able to figure that out, right? So let's say that you don't actually... You don't talk to anybody who uses Linux. You don't listen to any Linux podcasts. If you're not at all part of this community, or you don't share on any of the knowledge, you want a Linux laptops, then what would a person do? If you wanted to do interesting, if you wanted to suddenly you heard about Linux somewhere, and it's your first time, where would you go and try to figure out how to install it on your computer?
I think most people would go to Google or your search engine of choice and probably be led to Ubuntu or Zorin OS or Linux Mint or one of those distros. But if then it would be inherent in the knowledge that you would know how to put that ISO file onto a USB stick and how to boot from it. And then if it doesn't boot, to go into the BIOS and disable secure boot. And yeah, there's... Small, low level to people who are used to those things, technical hurdles, but there definitely are technical hurdles.
Interesting.
It'd be nice to have an easy way an easy and beginner friendly way of getting Linux installed on your computer.
So if you do how to install Linux in Google, I mean, your mileage may vary because everybody's search results are different, but I'm not signed in and this is Chrome and I don't usually use it, so. It gives you the knowledge box that says how to install Linux with some steps, and it leads to hellotech.com, site I've never heard of, how to install Linux on Windows 10. But this is not WSL. It basically walks you through partitioning the drive on Windows, suggests 20 gigabytes for Linux, making a bootable USB, and then you install Ubuntu. Yes. There it can go. This is a very short article with a lot of pictures, which is good, but there it can be so many things then go wrong, and it doesn't cover that, so that could be quite dangerous.
For me, it was relatively easy to find how to install Linux. That was easy. The main problem, and I had never anticipated it, is that there will be problems with my hardware, that it will not work, and I was lucky. And the first time it worked. The second time I had to find ways to solve it. But I had already used Linux for a year and a half by then, so I didn't want to change it. Would have I kept going like that for years and years? I don't think so. At some point I will have said, I give up. And that's the main problem. However, it's not a problem that can be solved easily, because the Linux community doesn't make computers. But at the same time, the Linux community is not taking into consideration that there is people who might not be there, part of their community, that might benefit. So sometimes it's difficult to get information.
Well, usually, the thing is, there is a lot of disinformation, but it's also bungled with all the other information. And what you essentially have is a search problem. You ask Google and you get some results, but it might not be the results that you need. Maybe, you know, in the future it'll fix this problem. But the information exists. Usually it comes down to something like, buy a cheap secondhand ThinkPad. As long as it's all Intel, it will probably work fine. That's your best bet, right? If you don't want to do that, the next, you know, there are pages on distribution sites that will probably tell you, you know, you can go buy Ubuntu certified hardware and so on. You can find a Linux vendor, but if you don't even come across the fact that there are distributions, yeah, there is a whole kind of gap between people who are trying to give you information and you, and it's not easily bridged. I don't think it's possible because Linux doesn't have a marketing department, because Linux is not a thing. You know, the choice, and I know you're thinking, Amolif is smiling, you're thinking of Michael Tunnell and his idea of marketing Linux, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great idea, but we are not one thing. We are a bunch of users in different stages and in different intensity of involvement and care and social skills and enthusiasm.
My counter argument to that is, and I think I alluded to it before, is the Linux vendors, your Entawares, your Stardocs, your Tuxedo computers over here, your System76s over in North America.
Some of those can be pretty expensive, though, because it's cheap hardware, but then because it's like a Linux vendor and they have to do the support and they have all that stuff, because it's so niche, that means the company has to be really small, which jacks up the prices.
Yeah. So you're comparatively, if you compare your Dell XPS, if you compare your HP or an Acer, specs per spec with a Linux vendor, it might be quite obvious that you are paying quite a premium for the Linux vendor.
The Linux vendors don't have quite the economy of scale as larger companies do.
Exactly. So then you can go to somebody like Dell and buy an XPS. But I think those are all high-end machines. Like, you won't get one under 700 euros, probably.
Right.
If you get a 700 euro one, those are decent machines, and you will make sure that Linux runs on it. But not everybody is going to spend that much money on a computer.
Ideally, most Linux distributions would target $300 laptops from Walmart.
Yeah, you know what? Windows probably doesn't run on those that well. You can occasionally get that kind of a thing, I think, well, maybe with inflation no longer, right? But there used to be, like, you could go to a supermarket and buy something for 300 money, so pounds, pounds or euros, right? And the problem with that is that it's a one-off, you know, no support, no nothing. I think at that point, if your budget is that low, then you're probably getting a decent second-hand device, it's much better. But then you need to know which one.
And your stereotypical 300 money computer that you're getting from a PC vendor will be guaranteed there'll be at least 50 money dollars, whatever, worth of bloatware on it.
A little fun fact, my computer, the one I installed Linux in, was bought in Carrefour,
which is a supermarket. Yeah, it's like Tesco, basically.
What distribution do you use now?
I think it's Fedora. So one of the main problems of me knowing Mike is that now all Linux is outsourced to him. Like, it's much easier to tell him, find me something I might like, than I'm going to start researching again and having to teach myself again how to install a thing and all that. So, yeah, the last three distributions, Mike chose them for me and installed them for me. And because now I don't use my own machine for work, I use it very little. So I have Fedora, but I haven't toyed with it because I don't have to.
Yeah, it's Fedora 36, which means that I have to update it. Shit, is it out of support already? No, I don't think it is yet. Anyway, it's the one before the current one, so I should upgrade it and maybe just surprise you with a new distro.
Maybe you should try Elementary OS next. They just released Elementary 7 last week.
Yeah, you see, Elisa is a bit like Connor. Mac-like interfaces break her head, and I don't understand it.
I cannot. I hate them.
Mm-hmm. It's weird because what she's using now, it's GNOME. So it's a Fedora. It's a vanilla GNOME, right?
And I don't like it. I use it. Oh. But I'm not in love.
I'll find. Okay, I'm thinking maybe we can go back to Zorin because we tried that one. I don't know why you went for it.
Yeah, it's Zorin or Mint or something like that.
Because I have to support this, no Mint. Yeah, this right? So this damn thing, because for me, GNOME, I can use it. Elementary, I could use, no problem. I install KDE and I break it. It breaks. I just can't. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I'm going to put that on Elisa's computer and she will be happy with it. But I just, every
Please.
Time I install KDE, it just goes to hell. Okay, you know, that's quite a revelation. No, right? So I install what I'm willing to support, right? That's why I said no Mint, because I hear that they have, and there are people who are talking about security who are much more educated in that matter than me, and they had some issues with that, which is what the first time when that happened, that's when I took Elisa's laptop off Mint and reinstalled it with something else.
I'm okay with Fedora. It's okay. It's just I don't love it.
What have you loved in the past that you've tried?
I really liked Mint, but because I like the old style Windows menus when they go vertical and you open things and like if it looks like a filing cabinet, I'm very happy. If it looks like that you have the icons at the bottom and no, if you have to press a button to change Windows, no, it's not gonna be for me. But I could get used to it. I just don't want to. And also, I don't have to. So if I had to use my laptop machine all the time, I will have gotten used to Fedora, and I might love it. It's just I'm not used to it, and I don't particularly want to, because my mind looks at things like folders and filing cabinets. So I want an operating system that mirrors my mind, not the other way around.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cinnamon or KDE are community flavors are of Fedora. So if you go in their community flavors section, there's puts KDE and Cinnamon.
I'm kind of, well, with Fedora, the thing is with Fedora, the GNOME is great, but the rest, then you still, so if you remove, if you put something else on Fedora, then you get Fedora with all its problems, like DNF, which I never grown to love, and you don't have the vanilla implementation of GNOME.
To answer the question of what have I loved, I actually, the first version I installed of Ubuntu, which I looked up, it was Lucid Lynx. I loved it. I wish I could have it back. I will have loved it forever.
Have you tried Ubuntu Mate then?
We did, yes, we did. And I think it was, again, there was something that my machine wasn't working well with Ubuntu Mate, and it might be time to go back, Mike.
Yeah, or you can actually, that is a, what is it called? Legacy GNOME, right? When you, one of the options is, you can get Legacy GNOME and it will give you the two bars.
Mike, just give up on the GNOME dream, man. Just
yeah, that's fine. We'll go to Mate. But that's I think the problem with your computer is, and it's a ThinkPad, so it kind of works fine. But one of the problems is that you had that the palm detection doesn't work. So you keep typing and you keep hitting the mouse, and it jumps your cursor and you were thumping somewhere else and you were very unhappy. That's why we tried a few different distros and I don't think anything could fix it. I don't think it's fixed now, by the way.
No, it's not fixed now.
Would you be okay with an external USB mouse? Because you could just go into the software and just disable the touchpad and just use the external mouse.
Yeah, but that defeats the purpose of a laptop.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, we actually, I asked Mike to install Fedora. It sounds a lot that as if he forced me. Now I said, oh, I'll give it a try. But I haven't really fell in love with it. And I haven't used the computer enough that I will.
Does anyone else have any questions on the general idea of starting off in Linux or specific questions for Eliza?
Do you have any closing thoughts, Elisa, or opinions? Anything you want to tell our listeners?
Don't assume that only people who are technical or who work in tech will use Linux or will be suitable, or the wives, partners thereof. I think if we give people the opportunity and it works, it should be okay. And if people don't forget that there will be users that are like that, then there will be more.
Well said. Right, I think it's good time to wrap things up. Thank you very much for joining us, Eliza. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you for inviting me.
No problem at all. And it's always good to have a outside of the box perspective on things. Somebody who's not necessarily technical or part of the Linux community. So that is very much insightful. All right, well, that has been another episode of Linux Lads. Don't forget to like and subscribe.